Well, let me read to you from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Words from the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he's affectionately known. That's not that he didn't love the rest of them, but there was that special bond. And John writes to the church, 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7. Dear friends, that's a nice touch, isn't it? Dear friends, I hope we can say that of each other. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. But anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads and pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you now, to your word. But we can also come to you and express our concerns, our worries, our anxieties. You tell us to cast them upon you. And Lord, we're mindful of, Lord, our world and its troubles at this time. And Lord, we pray again for wisdom for those who are leading nations. We think of the situation there, particularly with Ukraine and Russia and NATO and all that's going on. And we just pray, Lord, for a way through and a way forward in that situation. And Lord, for those who, Lord, are connected with us, think of those through SGA, particularly, Lord, in the Ukraine situation, but we just pray that they might know your presence and your help at this time, that you would have your hand upon them for good, indeed upon the whole situation for good. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the wider concerns in our own community. Lord, some are not with us this morning because of the service today for David Amos, the former MP in Southend. And Lord, we think of what happened there, and we think about those who will gather to remember. And we pray again for your presence. We pray for your peace. And Lord, something to glorify the Lord Jesus in the midst of this. And we just pray that Lord, you'd have mercy upon us. We see so much that goes on in our world that is, Lord, full of hatred, not love. And we cry to you for this. We pray for those who are unwell. We think of those impacted by COVID, and particularly think of Ray coming back from his trip in Switzerland. We pray you'd watch over him and Sue. and others who were there on that occasion, and others too amongst us. We thank you for the way that you have helped us as a nation in this, but Lord, still, we seek the way and wisdom for the way forward. So help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, these things concern us, cause us anxiety. They are things beyond us, but Lord, they are not things beyond you. And so humbly, we bow before you. We thank you that you want to speak into our lives this morning, so that we can live lives that glorify you and that speak to others in the days ahead. So help us, Lord, we pray. Attune our ears and hearts to you, and cause us to apply your word to ourselves, Lord, not to others straight away, but to our own hearts. And then from there, Lord, may we draw fresh strength and encouragement as we seek to follow you. Bless and be with then all who are unable to be with us. But thank you that you promised to be here with us. And we just depend upon that now for speaker and hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. It's quite hard to define what love really is. There's a very unhelpful definition in a dictionary. It says it's an intense feeling of deep affection. It's a great interest and pleasure in something, and it's a person or thing that one loves. Now, it might just be me, but you can't use love in the definition of love, can you? It seems to be. But it's so hard to define. What is love? It's a little bit like putting a duvet in a duvet cover, if you know that experience, if you've not got the corners in place. You're trying to put everything in, but what shape does it ultimately take? Well, I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God on this. We don't have to go with sentimental cartoons or cards or words of, soothsayers of old. We can go to the one who made us, to the one who made love, knows what love is, and defined it so wonderfully for us. This is love, says our text. There is a definition. This is love. Now, a lot of things, as I say, tomorrow will pass for love. Valentine's Day sales, they'll be hoping to keep the economy going with all sorts of things on offer. And of course, the love that is celebrated by so many tomorrow will be that of the physical nature, eros love, that sort of passion. That's what they're selling with the red roses and other bits and pieces that you can put together to make up an I love you package. And I've noticed that, talk about equality sort of seeping into our society in every level. Now there are roses for men, special, a different sort of rose. So, it kind of works both ways now. Genius for those who are selling them, double the sales. Not just the man buying for the woman, but the woman for the man as well. But gifts, expensive jewelry, meals, a film, Gone with the Wind, the most romantic film ever, according to a survey, never seen it. Card at least, got to be a card at least. Weekend away, rose petals, you name it, it goes on and on and on. Is this what is love? Is this what our text says? This is love. Is that where it takes us, to the Valentine's Day sales? You know, when Paul defines love, and Paul is a single man, so it's an interesting definition, in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patience, he begins. Love is patience. I think that's a significant start to defining what love's about. Patience. Love is kind, he says. And then he tells us lots of things that it's not, including being proud, self-seeking, and keeping records of wrong. But it protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres. Never fails. But it first and foremost is patience. It is not always an easy course, the path of love. Now, there are different kinds of love. As I say, most people are in the Valentine's thinking of love. We'll be thinking of what we call that Eros love. And really, that's a bit of a selfish love. If I give this, then I'll get that. That's kind of what is going on in that. But there are other sorts of love as well. There is that family, brotherly love, filial love, where we share with each other. As I say, if Eros is a give me love, the filial love is a let's share what we have together love. But when we talk of God's love, we're going beyond that. We're talking of agape love, the everlasting love, sacrificing, free and unconditional. The love that gives and gives again. Doesn't give to get, doesn't even give to share, just gives and gives and forgives and gives and forgives. An ongoing love. Now, you might think, well, that's God's love and our love's down here in the gutter somewhere, and that's how it is. But no, the passage we read spoke about how we are to know God's love and live out God's love. Yeah, even that agape, self-sacrificing love as God has given to us. I guess an example of this, and you'll know this, you see it when people give to charity. Some people give to charity and they let you know they've given to charity. And at best that is filial love. Okay, brother to brother, I'm helping out this charity. But then there is times still where people give and they don't know even the people they're giving to. And they just give and they don't even let people know about it. It's not a tax break or anything like that. It's just they just feel that they want to do that. And that is probably the best example of agape love amongst human beings you can find. When you give and you don't, as Jesus said, let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You don't make a big show or spectacle of it. You just do it. Someone somewhere is helped by your gift. There's no strings attached. You know, they don't have to do anything for it. Not even write a nice little letter back to you. Nothing. You have partaken in agape love. But you've got to admit, most of the time, demonstrations of love in our world do come with strings attached. They're not all self-sacrificing, free and unconditional. So often there's conditions with them. But this is love, says our text. There is a definition that God gives. He explains what his love, what love is all about. Because he moves on from definition to demonstration. He loved and sent his son. He loved and sent his son. Love does something. Doesn't just say something, it does something. Now, when you think about demonstrations, I guess there's two aspects to it, isn't there? You think of the protest demonstration, you know, big crowds of people marching for truth and justice, you know, against something that's gone horribly wrong. There's a march. It matters to them. And then there's another sort of demonstration. You watch it on your TV. They break a couple of eggs. They show you how to make, you know, an omelette. You know, a cooking demonstration. Following the steps. And you watch it and you think, yeah, I could do that. But when God demonstrates his love, which is he doing? Well, he's not protesting, but certainly he is making truth and justice possible in sending Jesus into our world. But more than that, he's providing for us a way to be saved, but a way also to live, showing us the steps that we can take through that demonstration to live our lives. So arguably it's both those sorts of demonstration that we see here. God's demonstration through his Son was to show he cares, to declare truth and justice, but also to show us a way to follow and reap the benefits. Now, one of the things that I read to you from the Father's love letter was how the Father says within that of the Lord Jesus, his death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. The ultimate expression of my love. When we need a definition of what love is, when we need a demonstration of what love is, we look to Calvary. We see that love is active. God sending his Son to rescue us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible tells us. God didn't wait for us to get our act together, to put some sort of 10% deposit down for him to do the rest. He did it all. For that's what love, agape love, does. There's definition, there's demonstration in this verse. And of course, practically, there is direction. We ought to love one another, John says to the church. We ought to. I guess we all know that, but we don't always do it. We do generally amongst ourselves, which is good, and I commend you for it. But again, we're thinking of the wider scene and the wider world. It's easier to love lovely people, isn't it? It's not so easy to love unlovely people. We ought to love one another. That is the direction, the flow that Christians are in and go along. Jesus himself said, love one another as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love those who followed him? We've got the gospel accounts. You can see that love on every page. It's hard to pin it down, but I've tried to just put just a few heads in place to guide us in this. His love was seen first and foremost in his obedience to the Father. He didn't bend over backwards here, there and everywhere just to fit in and for everything to be nice and go smoothly. He did what the Father told him to do. He talked of the importance of loving in the commandments, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength, and loving your neighbour as yourself. Those were principle, the commands that everything else, he said, hangs upon. And that's the way he lived, loving the Father and loving neighbours. He explained, of course, who neighbours are, not just those who live next door to us or in our community or who are like us, but people across the whole world are our neighbours. But loving the Lord first and foremost with our heart, soul, mind and strength, being taken up with him, letting him have the love, the preeminent place in our lives. So Jesus got up early to seek the Father, sought the Father's will, only did what the Father directed him to do. I think as well his love was seen in his communication. Now I've said that love is not just words, but love does come in words. And how many times did Jesus say, I tell you the truth? In a world full of liars, Jesus was there telling them the truth. Speaking the truth in love is part of love, according to the Apostle Paul. I tell you the truth. So that Jesus would address what was wrong and call it out when it was wrong, but he would also give the encouragement to those to change, to do things differently. I mean, ultimately, his love was seen in the way he shared his life, wasn't it? On many occasions, one example, Luke 18, there's a blind beggar crying out for help. Everybody else is walking past, telling him to shut up. We're too busy. You know, come back later, whatever. Whatever they were saying, probably not very nice things. But Jesus, in love, was accessible to those who were downtrodden and showed his care. Yes, through healing the man, ultimately. But even in the first step of stepping into the situation, he showed he cared. And then it goes on, and you read it to Luke 19, and you know the story well of a man called Zacchaeus, a little man up a tree, and you hear what Jesus said to him, and how Jesus invited him down, but invited himself to come to Zacchaeus' home. You know, it was a loving thing to acknowledge him, but it was an even greater love to seek to develop Zacchaeus, to bring him down from the tree, but actually put his feet on the ground and give him a life to live in the future. Jesus shared his time, his resources, his life, not just with a few disciples, but in the crowds as well, in those in need. But ultimately, his love is seen, of course, at Calvary, his sacrificial giving. Calvary love. And how wonderful the words of John 13 are as it opens up the Passion Week, the Holy Week as we know it. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And then he washed their feet. Was that the full extent of his love? Well, that was certainly a step on the way, but ultimately, all the way to Calvary. Nails in hands and feet, spear in his side, crown of thorns. He showed them the full extent of his love. More than that, taking the sin of the world upon himself. So here in our text, having defined what love is, explain the demonstration of it at Calvary, the direction is given to you and to me. We ought to love one another. But how can we? How can we love like this? Well, there is direction as well. The what. But there is also detail. The how. Since God so loved us, let us love one another. There's the key. He has put in love to us and for us, that we might then use that love and let that love flow from our lives. Since God so loved us, when we know his love, and let that overflow from our hearts and lives, we can love those around us in his name, in his power. And let his love flow out. Now, we were reminded in the Father's love letter how he knows us. He made us. Some have a greater capacity for love than others. That's who we are and how we're made. But having said that, there's still always a capacity to love when we're filled with that love. As we're filled with the Spirit of God, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When we are filled afresh with the things of the Lord, there is love, enough love for us to love and go beyond what we have known in the past. For he knows how to bring out the best in our lives. When people talk about love, and you'll hear a lot of this tomorrow, you'll hear people talk about going with the flow, just how you feel, following your feelings, follow your hearts. How strange then that Christ and John here should talk about the command to love. My command is this, Jesus says in John 15, love each other as I have loved you. My command. How can you can't command love. If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. Oh, hang on a minute though. When he is in the supreme place in our lives, when he is the one that we are living for, seeking to follow, whose words, instructions, actions mean everything to us, then when he says, love each other as I have loved you, surely we'll want to obey that command, that instruction. Yes, love is a fruit of the Spirit. It develops, it grows. But how does it develop and grow? It grows because it's connected. It's back to the vine and the branches again. The fruit grows because of the vine itself and the branches being connected to it. So interestingly, in John 15, it says, Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. See, there's no problem with commands and love being put together here. It's just as we develop in our love, following the Lord, that love, we'll know more of that love. And it'll be worked out in our lives. Put more simply this morning, the Lord is the source and the supplier of the love. He wants to put in more love, that his love then may flow out and flow over into our world and the needs around us. The definition, this is love. The demonstration, he loved and sent his son. That's where we see it. The direction, we ought to love one another because of that. And the key, the detail, since God so loved us, when we know that love, we can then love others. My time is up this morning, but let me just conclude by asking just a few questions of you. I know some of you have television sets that are high definition. You know those? I know Sean has. All round to Sean's. He's got a high definition television. Clear as anything. Even clearer than real life. Okay, you can see the skeletons in people. No, it's not quite that clear. But are we seeing this morning love in high definition? Or are we settling for this kind of grubby world love that prevails around us? That's not to say, express your love however you do that to friends and partners. But having said that, let's remember what love really is. And remember what God's love is. A love that would love the unlovely, would love you and me, even in our sin. Have you got the ultimate demonstration of love before you? We sometimes sing that chorus, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus, and the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Keep the cross before you. Keep that demonstration of love. Because when you feel like I can't love anymore in this situation and I can't forgive anymore, just keep looking at Calvary and just see how you have been forgiven and how God's love has been given to you through what happened there. Are you being guided by the direction of God's word and his command this morning? I mean, do we come this morning just to sort of mull it over and think it through? Or are we really the army of the Lord? And the command from our captain is, love one another. So we go out this week and we love one another in Jesus' name. And have you noticed that detail of how this is possible? Be being filled with the Spirit. If you're feeling loveless, if you're feeling you've come to the end of yourself, that's a good place to be, because then you need to fill up on God's love. Let the fruit of the Spirit, the primary fruit is love. Let that grow. Let that develop. Receive what the Lord has for you. Amen. Lord, we hear your word and we pray that you would help us in our home life, as neighbours and friends, Lord, to be the people you want us to be. Lord, it is difficult. Many, Lord, keep themselves to themselves. The community is not what it was. Yet, you call us to love one another. Help us to do that, Lord. Show us the way. And when we're struggling and finding it difficult going, Lord, fill us. Fill us afresh with your love. Keep the cross and Calvary before us, that we might live our lives this week to your glory, in what we say, in what we do, in the way we love, in your precious name. So seal your word in our hearts. For those celebrating Valentine's Day tomorrow, Lord, be at the heart of it. But Lord, whatever the day, whatever the circumstance, may your love prevail from our hearts and lives. And may that love touch and impact the lives of those around us to save and to bring to know that love for themselves, many in our community. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.